I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, I confess that some Sundays I just look at the scriptures and wonder, what am I going to preach? Some Sundays I wonder why you all even come back to hear me preach. But Sunday rolls around and here I am. And on weeks when I'm really lacking inspiration, when it gets to be Thursday and I haven't had time to meditate on the word or do much research at all, I confess, I go to the internet. You know, there are some terrific sites out there with fabulous preachers. And when you are feeling kind of dry, well, sometimes just hearing them helps inspire you. And other times, it just makes you wonder. One of my favorite sites that I go to when I really need some inspiration has a new guest preacher every week. And so I decided to listen this week. And I'll tell you what, Stephen Carlson and I must be two totally different people. He was preaching on the scripture from 1 John, and he talked about how absolutely fabulous his first experience of reading Homer's The Odyssey was. Now, I don't know about you, I had to read that in high school. I would not say it was a fabulous experience. My mother would not allow cliff notes. The only way I got through Greek mythology was to sit there with a pencil and diagram all those gods. And the only thing I can say is they were the meanest, most vindictive lot of deities that I have ever had the opportunity to read about. You know, to say they were nice would be a lie. They were, they delighted in coming to earth and doing mean, despicable, awful things to the very people who were worshiping them. I mean, it's no wonder the Greeks didn't like their gods. You know, the thing that really upset the Greeks the most is if they thought one of their gods was going to visit them, because a visit from a god was never good. The only reason they came was to announce trouble. And so the Greeks would make their sacrifices. They would pay their dues to keep the temples open and the priests happy. And after that, they flew right under the radar, hoping that whatever god happened to be angry at the moment would forget that they existed. Now, as Christians, we call that mythology for a reason, because we don't happen to believe in all those gods, do we? But here's my question. Why is it, after several thousand years and one savior later, we treat our God the same way? Oh, we do what we think is important. We observe the rituals. We pay our dues. The traditions are important to us. But far too many of us just stop short of really making that commitment. We know that if we really commit ourselves fully to being Christians, then we have to stand counterculture, counter to the culture that we live in. If we commit ourselves to God, if we commit ourselves to God's ways, then we also commit ourselves to loving others as God in Christ loved us. Openly, honestly, with no strings attached. That's not what the culture teaches us to do, however, is it? We live in a culture that teaches us that it's more important to be right than to be just. That speaking our minds is more important than listening with our hearts. And that forgiving others is a sign of weakness rather than a sign of strength. And we live in a culture that does not prize weakness. But listen again to the opening words of today's epistle reading. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. What makes this passage particularly difficult for us to swallow is the fact that it has nothing to do with fluttering hearts and sweaty palms and long, loving looks into pools of watery eyes. It has instead everything to do with the hard and difficult task of loving others when we are the most unlovely. The example of love that we have in the scriptures is the example of a Savior who, when the only thing he could hear from the crowds were shouts of "Crucify him," he still begged for our forgiveness. Forgive them, they know not what they do. And in the moment that he was resurrected, what was the first thing he did? He went and saw the very people who had betrayed him and hurt him and turned him over to the Roman government. And the scripture says, "You know God because you know me." If you continue reading in today's gospel lesson, it states very, very clearly that the love we are to give others is the love that Christ gave us. That sacrificial, hard-hitting, hard-to-swallow love that we call grace. To say that God is love, quoting the man I disagree with about Greek mythology, it is a bold confession that demands a bold commitment to a strong faith. To be loved by God is to be given a mission to take this bold faith to those who cannot accept it or deserve it for themselves. And it is not just to tell them, but to show them through our lives and our actions. After all, no one will believe it unless they see it lived through us. Whoever does not know God are those who cannot love. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Friends, when Christians like us gather together, when the world looks in upon us, what do they see? Do they see those who love in spite of, because that was when we were loved the most? Is Christ's love reflected in your life?